Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name's Bob. This is podcast number 121. It's April 10, 2015. Well, those words we began with today should sound familiar to many of you. We talk about the call of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. How did God call the prophets of Israel? It's hard for us to relate to it in a way because God has a voice and he used his voice. I know that sometimes that call could have come from within the man, the Holy Spirit working from within, but we don't rule out the fact that God can speak audibly too, and he did to Isaiah, for example, in chapter 6. Let's just trace these different prophets through the Old Testament, see how God called them. We're trying to find the various ways that God calls people and speaks to people to see if he might call us today, to see if we should be getting in a prayer place and listening for his call today. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, says Isaiah. The king is dead, but the Lord is still alive and doing what he needs to do. And he reveals himself as a holy, awesome God to Isaiah. That's part of the call of God. Part of the call of God is Isaiah's recognizing in verse 5, I am an undone person, I'm a man of unclean lips, I am a sinner. So this call of God, the first part of the call of God on your life and my life is a call to salvation, is a call to forgiveness, is a call to proper relationship with God. Since Jesus has made that way available, we must first focus to be sure that our life is lined up with that price that he paid for our reconciliation to God. Woe is me, I am undone, Isaiah said. I'm a man of unclean lips. He recognized it, but the remedy was available. A live coal from the altar of sacrifice, the live coal, perhaps referring to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And that was applied to his lips. The very work of God, the work of Christ, applied to his lips. And Isaiah is told that he is clean. He can now go. You can't go and be called of God in any sense of the word until you are clean, until you are cleansed by God yourself, and you stand before him every day for that cleansing. I'm not just talking about a one-time experience, although we believe in that initial thing, but it goes on and it goes on. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin is purged, and then, and only then, we can hear the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Don't even think about going for Jesus if you haven't been to that altar of sacrifice and felt the Lord touch you and believed that the Lord touched you with his blood, the blood that was shed on the cross for us. Then it is you can say, I am here, Lord, send me. That's Isaiah, very familiar one. How about Jeremiah? A little less familiar, but you probably have heard about him too. Now I'm just paging through. Can you find it? It's the very next book. I'm assuming I'm talking to a wide range of people here, so I don't know if you know your Bible or not, but it's the next book. The call of Jeremiah is in verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me. And you're going to see that phrase, that expression used quite often in the prophecies. Simply the word of the Lord. Sometimes we know nothing else about that prophet except the word of the Lord came to that person. There's your call. When the word of the Lord comes to you, it comes deep within it. I know it can come in the audible. I'm talking about the norm here. Is God speaking, especially to his people who have the Holy Spirit on their insides. That's the promise of today, that God lives in us. It's different than Old Testament times. It's better. It's really better. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. There's that same old John the Baptist thing that we talked about with Samson and Samuel, how God knows us. There's a people that he knows from the foundation of the world. The call of God's wrapped up in the mind of God, not just in you, but it's up to you to listen and to listen and to wait to see what that call is going to be in you. But Jeremiah was known of God, just like all of you, from the very beginning. Before you were born, I sanctified you. That's not to say you come out of the womb all saved. It's to say that in the mind of God it's done. He's already seen you, sealed you, sanctified you, glorified you. You know, the word glorified in Romans 8 is talked about in the past tense, and we who are living here haven't been glorified yet. But in God's mind, we're already glorified too. The battle's already done, if you want to get technical about it. But don't get so technical that you forget there is a battle to fight here too. You don't get to the done part until you do the do part right now. Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, said Jeremiah. I'm just a kid. I'm a youth. I'm nothing, just a little guy. Don't say that, the Lord said. For you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Don't be afraid of their faces. Okay, there's 50-year-old men out there. I'm only 20. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to do what I tell you to do. You're supposed to go where I tell you to go. Say exactly what I say. It doesn't matter. I am eternal. I am the ageless one. It's my word, not yours, that they must listen to. When the word of the Lord goes forth from your lips, and it reaches a person that God has already touched from the foundation of the world, that person will hear you. Doesn't matter about your age. Don't worry about that. God has already overridden that argument in Scripture through Jeremiah. That's why we have these different men with their different arguments and their different problems, because they're our examples. We can learn from them. Why do you think we have a book to begin with? All right, moving on. Lamentations is not a prophet. Lamentations is the cryings out of the same Jeremiah that we just looked at. Let's go over to Ezekiel next. And in Ezekiel, let me see, chapter 1 starts right out with visions, right? Ezekiel's visions. But in chapter 2, there's ascending. Stand on your feet. I'm going to speak to you. So, yeah, the call of God can come in a very dramatic, supernatural way. Don't write off people who are into the supernatural. I know that some of them have gone off into other things and deny the Scriptures and a whole lot of stuff, but we can't write off everything supernatural. Our God is a supernatural God. When he comes in and saves a man, that's a supernatural thing. It's nothing you did to tell him about the Lord. No, it's nothing he did. He'll tell you that. We serve the supernatural, so don't get upset if somebody says they had a really clear answer to prayer, that God worked a miracle in their life. Don't. That's who we are. I know that in some parts of the church it's frowned upon. It's because they never received anything. Go off into your prayer place and meet the Lord. Meet him head on. Talk to him and see what happens in your life. He's a supernatural God. That's Ezekiel. His call was very supernatural, very dramatic, very visions-oriented. And then he says, I'm going to speak to you. And then the Spirit entered me, and he says, I'm going to send you to the children of Israel, and they're rebellious, and they're not going to listen to you. Prophet after prophet had to deal with that, and you will too. If the word of the Lord's in you, the true word of the Lord is in you, the Scriptures that you believe and love and trust are in you, you're not going to be accepted everywhere, probably almost nowhere. Don't worry about it. Get over it. That's who we are also. Let's go to Daniel. Now, Ezekiel and Daniel were carried away captive. They weren't the bad people, but they were a part of the bad people. The Israelites had gone off into idolatry. Ezekiel and Daniel had not, but they were carried away also because God had a program, a blessing, something for them. Now, Jeremiah didn't get carried away, even though the Babylonians came down. He was set free. There's no rules here, folks. You don't get to automatically get a pass on all difficult circumstances because you're in the Lord. Could be that he's taking you into a difficult situation because he wants you to witness for him there, as was the case with Ezekiel and Daniel. Hello, talking call of God here. Some of you don't understand, perhaps, and I don't either. I don't like this. But that the difficulties in your life are part of the call of God on your life. The fact that you've had a difficulty all your life, whatever that is, that's part of the call of God on you too. You're called for a particular time, particular place, situation. You may not like it, but there you are. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about it? Do what you're supposed to do right where you're at. Daniel was a holy man, but he was carried away. But right away, he starts seeing visions. And right away, he begins speaking to the government. Now, you're not all going to do that, but you'll speak to someone wherever you are, wherever God has placed you. And you didn't think it was God because you didn't like it. But if you'll be a witness there, who knows what God might do? A man's gift makes room for him. Daniel's giftedness made room for him. Be sure you keep going into the private place with God and getting those gifts from God so that you'll be useful where you're at. You're not just to show up and be you there. That's not going to help. Be God in you. Things in your life and in your circumstances are going to change. How about Hosea? He just starts out with an assignment. He just gets an assignment. Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. I lost place here. I'm catching up with you. Here I come. Hosea, chapter 1, verse 2, the assignment. I got a new Bible here, and the pages are ultra thin, so just have patience here. There's Hosea. I knew he was still in there. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go get married to a harlot." You say, whoa, you made a mistake. No, I'm just reading it right from chapter 1, verse 2. He's given an assignment. He's given an awful assignment. Be sure your relationship with the Lord is right. Get that straight first. He said to him, that's the first thing. It says, when the Lord began to speak, that was the first thing he spoke to him? I don't know about that. It could be that there had been something going on for a little while anyway to form the bond. But then it was really early in his ministry, he's told, go marry a harlot. I'm not saying anything here. This is not an example for us. The example is that he heard from God and he did what God told him to do. That's the example. And it is still our example. We get into unusual situations where God seems to be saying something and we check it out in Scripture, and sure enough, God is saying that very thing, and we got to do it. How about Joel chapter 1? Same thing, the word of the Lord that came to Joel, and he goes on with his word, a very serious, difficult word for his people. Amos chapter 7, verse 14 of Amos, we get a little different insight with Amos the prophet. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah the king, I was no prophet, nor was I the son of a prophet. I didn't plan to be a prophet when I grew up. I wasn't from a prophet's family. We weren't a religious family at all. I was just a shepherd. I was a shepherd. I was a tender of fruit. I was a farmer. That's all I was, just an ordinary man, like thousands and thousands of Israelites. But the Lord took me while I was following my flock and told me to go prophesy to my people Israel. Another little insight about the call of God. It's not for the great folks. It's for, well, who knows? Again, no rules. I don't know who the call of God is going to come to. And I'm talking about salvation here, but I'm also talking about ministry. Again, those two are wound up together. You don't see much going on with the Lord and Amos, except come and prophesy for me. It could be he was already what we would call a godly man, a good man. But God had more for him, and he has more for all of us. I think that if we will listen, we'll hear what that more is. But don't assume. Don't jump until you know. Because you can waste a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of effort. a lot of your life. Be careful. Be listening. How about Obadiah 1:1? That's the very next book. The vision of Obadiah. We don't even say, hear the word of the Lord. And it's, this time it's just a vision. But it turns out that this vision is the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God. So here is a word that he got while he was in a vision. And Jonah, we all know about Jonah. An assignment again. The word of the Lord came to him. Evidently, again, he was already a prophet, already involved in the ministry, maybe a happy prophet up until now. But he gets an assignment that he doesn't like. Wow, what can you learn there about the call of God on your life? You've been going along in ministry, everything's kind of good. You enjoy the Lord, you enjoy his word, and then it changes. And the Lord seems to be saying to you, go over here and go do that. And you say, no, I'm going to do this. That's when you get into trouble. He didn't get written off. He didn't get thrown into hell. Although it must have felt like it for 3 days and 3 nights. He thought he was a dead man. But he was still alive. Inside the fish. By the way, it wasn't a whale. We all, do I have to tell you that? The Bible doesn't say it was a whale. There are fish in the sea that are huge enough to take in a human alive, and it's been documented, but we just believe God anyway. We don't have to have the documentation if we have the faith. I just looked at my little clock here, and I realize I'm burdening you excessively today. But Jonah's call is, again, exemplary for us. Be obedient. Well, you've been wanting a call from God all your life. Oh, if God would just call me, if God would just use me. And so God comes along and calls you, and he's going to use you. And you say, no, 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 no. I don't want that. Anything but that. Got to be totally, totally, totally submissive to what God has in mind. But he'll bless you. He'll bless you. You'll get over it, as Jonah, I think, he did. We don't know what his final reaction was, but we're assuming he got over it because he's God's man. Well, thank you for joining with me today. I think we'll continue with this study tomorrow. We'll just go ahead with this study instead of going to Spurgeon. We finished one of the sermons by Spurgeon in the book. I'm going to get back to that book eventually because it's very valuable. But we'll start a new sermon a little later. I think I'll finish this one up. And I'm working on something else right now. You know, I didn't plan any of this, by the way. I think I'll do this, and then I think I'll do that. Things just keep coming. One thing that's coming now is to lay a foundation. And perhaps you've already had the foundation laid in your life about the Bible being the Word of God. I want to go through the Scriptures. I've already begun this and talk about how the Bible is indeed the Word of God and how the Bible says that it is. And then we want to trace even some of the textual stuff that people have studied and talk about the transmission of the Word of God, and so that we can build our faith on the book that God has given us. He has truly given us a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I want to examine that for quite a while and share my examination with you. And that's coming up. Today, remember Isaiah 6:8. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Says God. Maybe saying the same thing in your presence, too. Bye-bye.